Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here tonight with my friend, Bruce McCurdy. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, David. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I really enjoyed that hockey game.
Yeah, me too.
I thought it was one of the Oilers' best games all year. And they're certainly in the top 10 games they've played this year. And it's fantastic to see the team. Klefbom's starting to get rolling here. And Andre Sekera's looking better than he did all last year. And, man, what a difference it makes to have a couple defensemen who can pass that puck, Bruce. It is just so transformative for a hockey team to have defensemen who can make a quick up-the-ice pass. And we saw that Sekera kicked off the sequence of joy on Klefbom's tying goal with just a quick pass up the middle of the ice. And it's what we haven't been seeing for so long, and it's such a relief to see it. So I'm really encouraged by it. And, you know, the Oilers are 6 points out of a playoff spot. It's the longest of shots right now. But on a night when all six defensemen are playing like that, and we again see the Connor-Leon magic in overtime, it's a little bit hard to be a pessimist or anything, but just slightly irrationally hopeful about this team. It was a great night for the Oilers, capped off by another fantastic overtime goal by the two superstars on the team. Bruce, this is our two good things, two bad things, and two numbers podcast. What was your good thing?
My good thing tonight was Leon Draisaitl. My goodness, what a player. You know, I was at the game tonight. A good friend of mine came through with tickets, and my wife and I were already in the city, and we said, sure, we'll take those. And then my line mate, David Staples, covered me off on the back check to do the game grade so I could relax and just sit back and enjoy the game. And I really did enjoy it. It was a fun game to watch, even though the Oilers trailed 3-2 for much of it. I wasn't even so worried about the outcome. I just thought, it's just a good hockey game, and they're really, you know, they're giving a good effort. But Leon, my goodness, he's just dripping with talent, that guy, you know. And some days, like, you hang around in Oilers Twitter and stuff, and it seems like you hear a lot of griping and whining and complaining about his body language, or, you know, this or that that's wrong with his game. But there's so much right with his game. And, I mean, he just dominated the puck tonight. He was all over the puck. He carried it. He pulled it up ice. He, you know, he dished it off. He shot it. He won battles. And it's just really an elegant player in many ways. He's got low tide. Sometimes compares him to the Jean Béliveau. He says, I'm afraid to actually call him that, but compares the playing style, and, you know, that's actually not a bad comp. The big gifted centerman that can shoot or pass.
I tend to think of other European players like Vaslav Radamanski.
Yeah, okay.
Big Ned. And Esposito. I think of him, and I think of Yakushev. Of course, all the guys from the 70s. For my mandate, I did a 370s reference all in one.
There you go.
10 seconds outburst of 70s nostalgia, Bruce. It's like a record, even for me.
I remember the Big Ned, even with Toronto Toros back in the day. I saw him play a few games in the WHA, and then he went to Detroit, I think it was, in the NHL. And
he had a good season in Detroit. I think he got like 30-something goals 1 year. Mm-hmm. He was not at his prime when he came over here, but he was still a good hockey player. Yeah, Leon is, you know what he did tonight, Bruce? He drove his own line, and he doesn't get the chance to do that much because he's with McDavid quite a bit. I just really like him as a center. Well, was he the center? I guess maybe Nuge was the center. I don't know. Like,
I think Nuge, yeah, it was more Nuge was playing the wing. I mean,
Leon took so many
faceoffs. He took, in the first period alone, 14 faceoffs.
Yeah, so I like Dry as a center. He showed in the 27 playoffs he can drive his own line. Just keep him there. You know, that is the best look for the Oilers. And you do have to find some line mates for Connor McDavid, and that's not going to necessarily be easy. But for the Oilers to be a winning team, They just can't have one line out there. And this is my long-held conviction, and I'm not giving up on it now. And tonight, I think we saw evidence that then if you have defenders who can serve both those lines with some passes, they could both get rolling. The fact that the Oilers even had a third line tonight, Bruce. I mean, the Cave, Reeder, Gagne line until Gagne was moved to the top line was a fairly strong outfit as well. So just so nice to see. My good thing, Bruce, is Klefbom. He just really came alive in the third period and looked like the Oscar Klefbom of old, charging up into the play, scored a beautiful goal. Almost scored on a kind of a two jam. He got two jams at the puck in the crease earlier in that period.
Oh yeah, he got robbed on those.
He is a fine hockey player. Now Adam Larson had some trouble on defense. His partner, first especially on that first goal against. Man, Larson was unwalkable. He just totally lost his man in behind him there. But Klefbom had a really strong night, and. Yeah, it was great to see. It was just really, really encouraging. It makes me wonder, even this year, if Sekera hadn't got hurt before the season, I mean, what a blow that was to the Oilers.
Oh, yeah.
Just massive. And, but here they are. They got all six guys, and let's see what happens.
I enjoyed watching Sekera tonight, too. You know, such a crafty player. Right, like he doesn't overpower anybody, but he sure seems to be in the right place a lot. And he sure, when he has the puck on his stick, he sure seems to put it in a good place a lot. And you know, when he's playing well, the game looks pretty simple. And because of that, I don't know that he gets the credit that he's due. But I kind of like the look of the third pairing, and I thought both he and Benning were fine.
Yeah, I agree. I'm never too in love with Benning's puck moving, but he's a smart defender who's a strong positional player. My bad thing, Bruce, I didn't like Brodziak's play. He only got 7 minutes. And I didn't Ratty's play. I didn't particularly like either. Ratty got another chance on the top line. He's had a few of them, and he's not making the most of it. And it might just be he just doesn't have that level of talent to get open, to get off shots consistently on a top line in the NHL. And I mean, that's the conclusion I'm starting to come to. And I like the player. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see him get chances. I think I don't even mind him on a third line when he's there, because I don't think he's weak defensively, because he's fairly smart. But he's got to do more. And as for Brodziak, I mean, anyway, he struggles to keep up with today's game, and it's passed him by. And I'm so glad to see Cave stepping up like he has, because the Oilers really need help at center. What was your bad thing?
My bad thing tonight, it's got to be the penalty kill. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot bad about the game, but they took the two penalties there right in a row. McDavid for what they called a headshot. They were talking in the post game about them possibly even looking at that at the league level. Anyway, while he was in the box, of course, Russell took a hooking penalty, and somehow Nurse and Lee took another soft penalty when Lee high stick Nurse again, just like he did last Saturday. And so they wound up two men short, and they executed on that. You know, Edmonton made a couple good plays, but it was a long 3-on-5, and they couldn't kill it. And then the 4-on-5, and bam, they give up another one right away. And that was the only two for the night, and they were 2-for-2 on the power play. New York was, so Edmonton was 0-for-2 on the penalty kill. And they're now ranked 29th in the league at 75.3% or somewhere right in, just in the 75% range. And that's just not good enough. And
see, Brodziak was brought in. Now, I don't have him at fault on the goals. Mm-hmm. On the he and Cassian were out there for that one. I think for the
Clutterbuck goal, the
second one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought Cassian and Benning might have done better on that one, or at least Cassian and Benning, they allowed the pass and the tip. Doesn't seem like the Oilers have great stick in passing lanes. On those power plays. I mean, it was a 5-on-3, but that cross seam went right through there from Eberle, and you know, it just seems like they're sometimes guarding the point pass to the point when their stick should be in the middle of the ice.
Yeah.
Towards the middle of the ice. Like the pass to the point, that's not the dangerous pass. You know, the point shot's not the dangerous, but the killer pass is always that one through the middle of the ice and
across the Royal Road.
Indeed. And I didn't like that either. So very frustrating. And, you know, I wish Koskinen would have had one of those. Like, he's not really to blame like on any of them. Mm-hmm. Would have been nice to have to see him make one of those. And again, I'm a little worried about his glove hand. It seems just a little bit slow or something. But, you know, he played okay. He played, I thought, I gave him a six.
He made two huge saves in the third period.
Yeah, for sure. So it's hard to be too negative on him, but I would just wish he would have had at least one of those other ones. What is your number, Bruce?
I'm going to go with 23 minutes and 14 seconds. And that is the ice time for Alex Chiasson, the guy that you were talking about getting rid of in your column this morning. And I'm just looking at the usage of this guy, and Hitchcock just loves him. He's given him 20-plus minutes a night. Tonight, this was the ice time for the forwards, 25:01 for Draisaitl, 23:31 for McDavid, 23:14 for Chiasson, 22:39 for Nugent Hopkins. And then after that, it's a big drop off to 15:57 Gagne. So it's like seven, almost 8 minutes between the fourth and the fifth guy. So they're really leaning on those four guys. And Chiasson, I mean, he's just snake bitten at the moment. Like tonight, he hit the very inside of the goalpost. I was down at that end and hit the post, and it came, almost hit the other post. It came right clean across the goal line and out. And he was, he just can't seem to buy one just now. But
when was that shot?
He played a pretty good game. That was in the second period.
Oh, I might have missed that.
That came our way in the second and the fourth. And yeah, rang the iron, and it was an outside shot, but it was a really good shot.
Oh, I see.
He probably wouldn't even have called it a grade A, but it was quick off his stick and beat Leonard clean. And
I think I do recall it now. You know, the coach.
They never showed a replay of it in the rink, but I got a good view of it.
The coach loves that player,
mm-hmm.
And I don't. It's not like I don't like. I'm okay with the player. I just think he's got. He's, you know, sell high and get a second round draft pick. I mean, you gave up a third pick for Petrovic. That's a big, that's a kick in the shins for the Oilers. Yeah. And they need to, you know, trade Chiasson for, if you can get a second pick. I mean, what's his name? The guy from former Pittsburgh. He's been everywhere. Anaheim, Hagelin.
Mm-hmm.
He went for a third round pick from, LA to Washington today.
He's got two goals, eh?
He's got two goals. I mean, mm-hmm. You can't get a second for Chiasson. He can help a team in the playoffs. Like,
oh, sure.
Know. So, and then if he wants to come back here, he can come back here.
Potentially.
So.
Anyway, if they plan on making any kind of a run towards the playoffs, though, they're going to want to keep him because they don't have another 23-minute player to replace him with.
Yeah, but you can get what you're getting out of Chiasson by somebody else, Bruce. It's not like he's like he's creating a ton of chances or like come on.
Let's bring up that ice time just because it blows me away. Well, this guy's getting 23 minutes, but he did.
Well, yeah, I don't think he's doing a lot with it, honestly. Like personally, I think he's okay. My number is 13:41.
Okay.
Colby Cave's ice time.
Oh, there we go.
Which is kind of the ice time indicative of, you know, maybe a third line center. And he's certainly not earned that job yet as a third line center, but he's made a strong bid to be at least the Oilers' fourth line center next year, Bruce. And we'll see in the final 20 games what he can do as a third line center, because that's how he's going to be used. But that would be huge if the Oilers have, when we talked about this on the last podcast, it would be huge if Colby Cave can be a center on the Oilers. And he's starting to look smarter with the puck, more composed, making plays. He hustles. He's a reasonable defensive player. He's not a fast skater. He's an okay skater. He's faster than Brodziak. And, I just thought he had a good game. I gave him a 7 out of 10.
That's my dog at the door over there. You should.
I can see your dog. Yeah, I can see your little dog there.
Yeah, well, Cave, when he was on the ice tonight, the Oilers outshot the Islanders 12-5, and he had similar really good shot metrics in the last game, seems to me. And he's been, they're doing their damage in the other team's end. Like, he's good on the forecheck. He stirs things up. And tonight he finally got a point. I was a little surprised he didn't get a point on the second goal, Gagne's goal. He certainly was involved in the play.
He didn't?
Oh, they just called it Gagne from Toby Reeder, who made a fantastic pass.
Well, I think the defenseman, it was kind of hard to tell if the defenseman got the puck off Cole Cave's stick to
Reeder. Yeah, Reeder. I wasn't quite sure. Anyway,
it was kind of hard to tell. You know, if you're being generous.
I thought he'd just get a point, the home team point. You know, anyway, he was involved in that goal, and he certainly was involved in the tying goal. And, you know, plus two on the night from your third line center and chipping in on, to some degree, on both plays. And his first point, I mean, finally, he was way, way, way overdue to get something on the board. But his game's been coming around. This is four or five games in a row where I thought that guy's pretty good. You know, he's not great, but you need depth players who can play. And, you know, they're not all going to be McDavid and Draisaitl, obviously, but... you know, the problem with the Oilers, they've had such a huge drop-off. And, you know, they've had some weak links lower in the lineup. And I don't see Cave as a super weak link of what I've seen lately. I see a bottom six player who might be able to play with his team for a while. And he signed for next year, basically minimum salary. So,
good stuff. So... what's going on with Jesse Puljujärvi, Bruce? You think they're getting ready to trade him? Is he sitting out because he's pouting?
He's got a lower body injury.
Oh, yeah.
Which doesn't, you know, it doesn't sound like it's, you know, but I saw some wag say.
He shot off his toe to get out of
Some wag called him butthurt. Lower body injury. That's a bit harsh.
Oh, geez.
It's a nasty situation right now. I mean, the agent piped up, and anytime the agents get involved, people get pissed off at the agent, at the player. They start taking the side of the team.
Yeah,
you know, the team is butchered.
Development. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, this is a guy that's 2 months younger than Tyler Benson, and he's had 3 years of being on the bungee. Up and down, up and down.
I think they got to do the full Drouin on this guy, even though like there's some bad blood here. Just stick mm-hmm. with it until he starts producing for the team. And then if he's still not happy, move him then, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't see moving him now. There's no upside. He's got nowhere to go, I don't believe. Like I don't see him going to Europe or the KHL or mm-hmm. Finland or wherever. Maybe he would. But just bring him back next year with a new GM, new coach, see what happens. And tell him to suck it up. You have to sign him. Yeah, but I don't see him going anywhere. If he wants a career where he makes the big money, he's got to stick this through. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, he's got to help his own cause here. He needs to play a little more inspired hockey and produce a little bit somehow.
He's got to beat some players on the rush. He's got to make some plays. He's got to score some goals. I mean,
he's got something like 5 goals in his last 60 some games. I mean,
yeah. I mean, he's not exactly. I mean, he's played so much with Lucic. It just makes me want to bang my head on the keyboard or break a clipboard. Look at your dog. He agreed with me there. He just said right on, Dave, is what he said.
Yeah.
Bruce, let's leave it there for the night.
Okay. Dusty says good night, David. And I'm going to say thanks for listening, everyone.
And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.
I'm coming, Dusty.